Let me just start out by asking you where and on what are you focusing in the closing days of the campaign?
Well, we're focusing really on traveling across the Commonwealth and listening to people. And, you know, I think what we're hearing on people's minds, they, you know, Virginians want a job that they can support themselves and their families with. And, you know, we've worked very hard in the last 4 years building the new Virginia economy. We've made a lot of good progress, still have work to do. But, you know, we brought in over 215,000 new jobs to the Commonwealth, over $18.5 billion of capital investment, and our unemployment rate, we're very proud of, has gone from 5.4 to 3.7. It's the lowest it's been in 9 years in Virginia. So jobs are important. Number two, families want to know that their children have access to world-class education. So we've done a lot of good work and will continue to with K through 12 public education. Pre-K education is very important. You know, people in Virginia want to know that they have access to affordable and quality health care. They want to live in environments where the air and water are clean, want to be in safe communities where there are not guns on every street corner, and they want to be in an inclusive Virginia. Especially, you know, we've spent a lot of time on our colleges and university campuses, and our young people, our millennials, really feel important that we live in a diverse society. So that means we need to be welcoming to folks in Virginia. So that's what I hear as I travel across Virginia. Tremendous amount of enthusiasm. We had our Vice President Joe Biden here a week and a half ago, and then just a few days ago, President Obama was here, and just a lot of excitement. And people are, you know, paying attention to what's going on in Washington. They want a leader in Virginia that will stand up to Washington and also take Virginia to the next level. And we look forward to a large turnout on Election Day, November 7th.
I want to ask you about a couple of those issues that you mentioned, health care and some other things, in just a moment. But more broadly speaking, I guess this is maybe posing a best case scenario for you. Let's say you win and Democrats win a majority in the House of Delegates. You'll still face Republican opposition in the state Senate. So in your wildest dreams, what would you like to accomplish as governor?
Well, you know, first of all, I would say that, Bob, I have my reputation in Richmond is working with both sides of the aisle. I was able to pass the smoking ban in restaurants in 2009. I've done the work in Virginia with concussions, making sure that our student athletes are safe. That was a bipartisan effort. I've done a lot of work with sea level rise. We now have a resiliency program in Hampton Roads to deal with sea level rise. That's from our work, and that was done in a bipartisan manner. So I know how to get things done in Richmond. I have good relationships. And my agenda over the next 4 years is the first is our economy. We need to make sure that everybody has opportunity for a good job, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. And that happens through workforce development. We need to know what the jobs of the 21st century are and how to train individuals for those jobs. And those are really in what we call the STEAM H-related areas, science, technology, engineering, the arts, math, and healthcare, things like cybersecurity, unmanned aerial systems, biotechnology, data collection, data analysis. So we're really bringing skills to jobs, working with our colleges and universities, making sure that they're affordable. We have 23 great community colleges in Virginia, so we have proposed the G3 program, Get Skilled, Get a Job, and Give Back, that allows individuals to go to a community college for 2 years without incurring any debt. Put a lot of emphasis at the high school level on vocational and technical training, revise the SOL, so we need to stop teaching our children how to take multiple choice tests, rather they need to think creatively. And then finally, early childhood education, something that's very important to me. That's a bipartisan effort. We need to make sure that all of our children in Virginia have access to pre-K. So workforce development and the economy are number one on my list. Obviously, as a doctor, Bob, I there's no more important time that we have someone that is at the table that understands health care, that makes sure that all Virginians have access to affordable and quality care. So those would be my three top priorities: jobs, workforce development, and access to good health care.
Well, let me ask you a little bit more about health care. Assuming Republicans in the General Assembly will continue to block Medicaid expansion in Virginia, and given the uncertainty over the Affordable Care Act that we've been hearing about in Washington, how do you move forward with health care policy?
Great question. And, you know, there's a lot going on in or maybe not going on, depending on how you look at it, but a lot of uncertainty in Washington. So we need to watch very carefully, you know, what's going on in Washington. If the Affordable Care Act is not repealed, it's going to take leadership in Virginia to bring people from both sides of the aisle and put the excuses aside and do what's in the best interest of Virginia, and that is expand Medicaid. And I'm more than willing to call it by something different. You know, we used to refer to it as Marketplace Virginia. We can talk about Healthy Virginia, whatever semantics we want to use. But no more excuses, Bob. There are 400,000 working Virginians that don't have coverage. They end up in the emergency room, and I would say there's a time and a place for the emergency room, but that's not where preventive care takes place. And every day that we don't expand Medicaid in Virginia, not only are we leaving on the table, but we're giving to surrounding states who we compete with over $6 million a day. So it's time to bring that money back to Virginia. That money could be used for health care, for education, transportation, first responders. And again, it's going to take leadership and bringing people from both sides of the aisle to the table, putting the politics aside and doing what's in the best interest of Virginia. So, you know, that's my reputation, and that's what I'll do in the upcoming 4 years.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you've said that you support the construction of the Atlantic Coast Natural Gas Pipeline as long as it passes water quality and environmental scrutiny, and if the route of construction can be tweaked to cause the least amount of environmental disruption. Is that right?
Yes, and as you know, the final decision will be made by FERC. Right. They have already come out with their opinion. We're now waiting for the opinions, the work to be done by our state agencies, DEQ, and then the Corps of Engineers. And so I have said all along, if this is done with environmental responsibility, if it's done keeping property rights in mind, and that it's done with transparency and science, then the pipeline will move forward. If DEQ says that it's not safe, it's not environmentally sound, then I will respect their decisions, and we will move forward from there.
Are you at all concerned that DEQ might not be completely objective in the process? There were some stories earlier about a company called 3E that also has links to Dominion, and DEQ had hired 3E for some consulting. Does that link concern you, and are you fully confident that DEQ is going to be objective in that process?
Well, I have confidence, Bob, in our state agencies, and we need to let them do their work. And I think for anybody to sit back and second guess or even try to influence DEQ would be irresponsible. And so I have confidence in DEQ. They are doing their work. They have had public comment sessions. They, you know, are looking at the permitting process. And when they make their decisions, I will stand with DEQ.
Well, I want to ask a bigger question, if I may, a bigger issue surrounding the construction of these pipelines. According to the Virginia Public Access Project, over the last 20 years or so, Dominion Energy has been the biggest corporate political donor in Virginia. They have donated to your campaign, and in addition to many others. And critics say that all that money is one reason why the company gets favorable regulatory treatment. In your view, is that a problem? And if so, what would you do about it?
Well, my decisions are always made in the best interest of the public. That's who I work for. I'm employed by the Commonwealth of Virginia. I work for the voters, so I've always made my decisions based on that, whether it be, you know, doing the smoking ban in restaurants, standing up to offshore drilling, standing up to against uranium mining. That's been my track record. I have also introduced a plan for campaign finance reform, and in which case I don't think legislators should take contributions from corporations. But before we get the comprehensive campaign finance reform, we need to do redistricting. I think that has to be the first step. So as you know, I support drawing the maps fairly to get rid of the gerrymandering in 2021. Once we do that, then I think we'll be able to tackle other issues like comprehensive finance reform.
Well, there's another controversial issue that you have waded into, and that is the question over Confederate statues and monuments. Your daughter went to the University of Virginia. You support removing Confederate statues and monuments. How do we prevent another day like August 12th in Charlottesville?
Well, I think, first of all, we need to talk about what happened on August the 12th in Charlottesville, and that was that a group of white supremacists, neo-Nazis, KKK members, marched into a beautiful city, Charlottesville, a wonderful university, the University of Virginia. And as you said, our daughter Aubrey graduated from the University of Virginia in 2013. But these individuals rolled in, marched in with torches, with shields, with semi-automatic weapons, doing nothing more than promoting fear-mongering, spewing hatred and bigotry. And, you know, I was proud to stand with Governor McAuliffe, our Attorney General Mark Herring, and call these individuals out for who they were and who they are, and that is a group of white supremacists, and tell them don't ever come back to Virginia again. I regret that our president didn't do the same. I regret that my opponent, Ed Gillespie, didn't denounce the president. That's what leadership is about. That is the message that Virginia needs to hear. We need to heal in Virginia. We need to have a reconciliation process. So my position, Bob, on statues, if a statue gave these white supremacists an excuse to come into a beautiful city, spew their hatred and bigotry, kill two of our state police, and kill Heather Hyde, then we need to have a discussion about statues. And personally, I think if there's a statue that's divisive, that promotes hatred and bigotry, it needs to be in a museum with historical context. I have left this decision up to the localities. And we also need to tell the rest of the story. There are a lot of civil rights leaders right here in Virginia, like Oliver Hill, like Barbara Johns. We need to tell their story. And we also, Bob, we have monuments that aren't built of bronze that we need to discuss, things like the inequities, inequities in access to health care, inequities in access to education, inequities in access to voting rights. And so these are also discussions that need to take place in Virginia, not only for our generation, but for future generations, because we live in a very diverse society. That means that we need to be inclusive. We need to welcome people to the Commonwealth of Virginia. Our lights need to be on, our doors open. And that's the way we'll move forward if I'm the next governor.
Is there anything I didn't ask you that you'd like to mention?
Well, one of the things, Bob, that I do like to talk about and I'm proud of, I'm a veteran. I served in the United States Army for 8 years. I took care of wounded soldiers during Desert Storm. And we have worked very hard over the last 4 years to make sure that Virginia is the most veteran-friendly state in the country. And I will continue to stand up for our veterans because they have risked their lives. Some of them have given the ultimate sacrifice to protect our freedom. We ended homelessness effectively. We were the first state to do that last year. I'm very proud of the work we did in that area. And then we have the V3 program, which has been very successful. That stands for Virginia Values Veterans. Our goal was to hire 20,000 veterans by 2018. We've now gone past 20,000, even past 25,000. We're on our way to 30,000. So we want to make sure to continue to make sure that Virginia is the most veteran-friendly state in the country. And that's something, as a veteran, I'm very proud of.
Dr. Ralph Northam is the current Lieutenant Governor of Virginia and the Democratic nominee for governor. Dr. Northam, it was a pleasure talking with you. Thanks very much for your time.
You as well, Bob. Thanks for having me on today.